Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
How many of you are after Thanksgiving Christmas decoration people? How many of you wish you didn't have to do anything for Christmas and you just say, yeah. I've got neighbors, they've got all kinds of lights. I think I have the tackiest thing in the neighborhood. I've been using those laser lights for a long time. Man, it takes me 10 minutes. I just, boom, put them up and there they go. And they're easy to take down too. All right. Ever thought about what makes people happy? A lot of books on happiness, a lot of talks on happiness. You know, the Bible talks about how to be happy. And in our stewardship for today, here's, look at this. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. For she, I always get a kick out of the fact that wisdom is referred to as she. But you all are awake tonight, aren't you? That's good. She is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you can desire equal her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand, in her left, riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peaceful. She's a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. You know, it's interesting that a lot of times people chase happiness. Have you ever heard people talk about, you know, I'm just trying to be happy and I just want to be happy? And even secular psychologists will tell you, if you pursue happiness just as an end goal, you're typically not going to get there. But the Bible knew that a long time ago. And so it says, happy is the person who finds wisdom and God's wisdom. So I'm talking to Wednesday night people who came to church, or maybe you're watching online. And so you recognize the value in God's wisdom. And God's wisdom, in fact, people are chasing, well, if I get enough money, I'll be happy. Have you ever noticed that even when you made more money, you weren't a whole lot happier? A lot of times people make money and then they get a raise and they're like, they're happy for a little while, and then they notice their expenses rise to the level of their income. And so money necessarily won't make you happy. Now, not having any of it can certainly make you unhappy. But it says that wisdom, God's wisdom, is actually more profitable than gold or silver. And so you do know there are things that money cannot buy you. Money can't buy you a good relationship. Now, money problems can be a problem in a relationship, especially in a marriage. But money can't buy you a good relationship. I think it was the Beatles that sang, "Can't Buy Me Love." And that's true. But it says that God's wisdom can produce things that money can't buy. You know, money can't buy you long life. It said God's wisdom can. And God's wisdom said, boy, you begin to embrace God's wisdom, it's going to produce good. And by the way, God's wisdom, when you get a hold of God's wisdom and knowing what to do, it's not angst. It's not harsh. It's peaceful. Good revenue. So, you know, I think sometimes if we really took this seriously, that we would do everything we could to go, God, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom on my job. I need your wisdom in my relationships. I need your wisdom in every scenario, because when I have your wisdom, things work. When I have your wisdom, things go better. And so I commend you. You're here at church on Wednesday night. You're going to listen to God's word, hopefully, if you're awake. And you get God's wisdom, because God's wisdom is in his word. Amen. But how do you know that God can give you an insight on what to do? It changed everything. Quick, just like that. When I first wanted to start a church, my first church lasted a month. It's not this one. It was a church in my hometown in North Carolina. Joy and I went there. And we launched it, knew in our hearts we'd missed it, shut it down. My mother stopped going. There's your sign right there. So, but we agonized for a long time what to do. We looked all over the place, looked to, in North Carolina, where was I supposed to start a church? Where was I, and it was a hard time. And finally, when I just began to seek God about His wisdom, because I kept feeling like I was running into roadblocks. Ever felt like that? That every time you go someplace, it's just like a dead end. You feel like I'm not getting anywhere. Well, if you feel like you're not getting anywhere, guess what you need?
Jesus.
Wisdom. What we're talking about. If you keep hitting roadblocks, what do we need? Y'all are quick. Here we go. So, but if we have God's wisdom, it can change things. And we were praying. We didn't know what to do. And finally, just really began to seek God for His wisdom. And I'm sitting in a church service, and a guy said something. And I'll never forget it. He said, you know, if you're not getting answers, sometimes you're asking the wrong questions. And we had been asking the Lord, where do you want us to start a church in North Carolina? Lord, where do you want us to start a church? And as soon as He said that, I had my answer. I said, do you want us to start a church in North Carolina? And we knew in our hearts the answer was no. And so it paved the way for us to come back. But everything opened up. When you get God's wisdom, the roadblocks are over. Because God's wisdom is a path of peace, and it can show you the way. So as you're seeking God's wisdom, look, next time you open your Bible, don't just go, okay, I need to read my Bible. Bible 365, I need to read Bible 365, because Alan's going to say, everyone reads 365 here at the church. And that's exactly what I'm going to say. Everybody reads Bible 365 here at the church. But the next time you open your Bible, don't go, I got to read my Bible. Go, God, thank you that your wisdom is in this book right here. And your wisdom can make a huge difference in every area of my life. Every area. How many of you can testify that you've gotten over the years of God's wisdom has come into your life in some area and your life is better now because of it than it was before? So it's worth pursuing. And it's just a great way. And it'll make you happy. Bible happy. You know, another word for happy is the word we use a lot of times in church circles. We use the word blessed. And it's actually the same word. So happy or blessed, I'll take either. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We appreciate your wisdom. We appreciate your insight. We appreciate the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who can enlighten us and reveal to us your word, your wisdom, your plan for us. So, Lord, I thank you for every individual that's here, every family that's represented, everyone that's watching online. Lord, thank you. We have allotted time for you, and we thank you that as we honor you, Lord, we receive from you. So tonight, we just open our hearts, big and wide, and we look forward to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we've been looking at doing a series we called Because We Have a God. And I just felt impressed to look at a man who really had a relationship with God. And he had a good relationship with God. And a very unique man. His name was David. And so we've been looking at David, looking at his life. And, you know, the thing I really like about David is David had a lot of battles, but he won a lot. And so I want to follow someone who's been successful. And David has been successful. I don't want to follow people who had a bad ending in the Bible. You know, it is just kind of, it's kind of colloquial wisdom, but never take advice from someone who's more messed up than you are. That's not wisdom. But David's got a lot of wisdom. Now, I heard a guy, we've been talking about David and Goliath, and I heard someone saying, well, David, we're not a type of David, that we are a type of the Israelites hiding in terror. And I respectfully disagree. I believe these things are written. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 15:4, it's not on the screen, but it said, well, I'll read it so I don't misquote it. Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience or perseverance and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So when we read stories like this in the Old Testament, they're not written so we could go, wow, that's a fascinating historical fact. And I'm glad that happened. We read them to learn from them because there's principles there, things to do, things not to do. And with David, we see a lot of really good things to do. Now, he had some moments where there were some things not to do with David, but these things they're learning. So when that person said, oh, we're not a type of David, David is a type of Christ winning over the enemy, I can agree with that, but isn't Jesus our example? Aren't we to learn from him? And so, you know, the idea that the enemy is just going to constantly terrorize us and we're going to live in fear, I don't buy into that at all. I believe that this story is in the Bible and gives us biblical principles about the giants in our life. Now, but they may not be physical people giants, but there's giants of sickness, there's giants of mental illness, there's giants of oppression, there's giants of financial problems, there are giants of relational problems. Anybody seen any giants in your life? There are giants there. And I'm just glad to know that I don't have to get whooped by giants. That if I get God's wisdom, we can whoop giants. That's not really grammatically accurate, but it's still true. So we don't, listen, so don't read these stories in the Bible and go, wow, they're amazing. Read these stories in the Bible and go, what can I learn? What can I learn? What can I take into my life? And so we watch David, because remember, we said last week, David was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we have the same Spirit. If you've been born again, the Spirit of God lives in you, and you can even be baptized and immersed with the Spirit. And he's not a weak, timid, cowardly spirit. He's the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it's not the different spirit that was on David that's on that lives in us. That's really good news. We're empowered by the same spirit. And we talked about last week how David talked about when he saw Goliath. Goliath was huge. I think the translation we read said he was over 9 feet. I don't care if he's over 7 feet. He's a big guy. And David never calls him a giant. Never referred to him as a giant. Never referred to him as someone who is just too big to, you know, I can't handle this. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine, indicating that this guy has no relationship with God, but I have a relationship with God. And he doesn't. And you say, well, what does that matter? It matters a lot how we talk about things. It matters a lot how we talk about when you get a report or bad news comes or a difficult situation. This is when you don't want to start saying, I'm just falling apart. I've just fallen apart. My whole life's fallen apart. Dear God, I'm falling apart. My mama fell apart. My grandma fell apart. Everybody in our family falls apart. I'm just destined to fall apart. I'm going to fall apart. I wouldn't ever say that. I'm not ever going to say I'm going to lose my mind. I don't say I'm losing my memory. I don't talk old.
Oh, that's good.
So, well, you're getting old. I'm getting older. But old is a mindset. I know some 35-year-olds who were old. I'm old. I'm younger than they are mentally.
Yes. That's right.
And so how do you talk about stuff? And we've just, and listen, we've been trained that way. We've been trained to be more negative than positive. We've been trained to talk negative. Like I said, you're standing in line at the post office. We're coming up on the holidays. You're standing in line at the post office. And everyone's like, oh, we're at the post office. They're like, if you work at the post office, we love you. But people get negative. And if you get positive, they'll look at you like you just grew a third eye right in the middle of your forehead. All you got, if you want to clear your line out at the post office, just go, praise God, I'm glad I live in America where I have got a postal system that works, aren't you? And they will look at you like, oh, dear Lord, what bus did you just get off of? So I just got off the gospel bus. That's what I did. No, don't tell them that. It'll be weird. But we talked about this. So we talked about last week. Said, don't magnify the problem by talking about it, making it bigger. Don't give voice to your fears. And don't give voice to your inabilities. I can't do this. I just can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't do this. And like I said, this you know what this requires, guys? It requires us retraining ourselves. And just retraining ourselves to speak differently. But this is where we go to the scriptures and we look at how David talked and we look at all the battles that he won and we go, okay, this guy had something here. He had something. There were some principles here. So we're going to look a little further at David and his story. And here's one of the things I'll talk about. And this is, I really think this is big. David believed that God was for him. Now we say that, we sing that. It's time we believe that. 1 Samuel 17, this is out of the Christian Standard Bible. Remember, David had been saying, hey, what are they going to give the guy that kills this Philistine? And they say, well, king will make you rich. You get to marry his daughter. No taxes. David's like, I'm in. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. So he had David brought to him. Saul is the king. David said to Saul, don't let anyone be discouraged by him. Talking about Goliath. He said, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Never called him a giant. But Saul replied, you can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth. He's been a warrior since he was young. David answered Saul and said, your servant has been tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came out and carried off a lamb from the flock. I went after it and struck it down and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be... they were just straight up crude. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Then David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. That's something kind to say. He's going out to fight. The Lord be with you. Bless you. Bless you, brother. But let's take a look a little bit how what he talked about. David's testimony before Saul. Saul didn't think he could do it. And naturally speaking, David was a young man. Goliath was huge. But David recalled how the Lord had helped him. The Lord rescued him from lions and bears. And keep in mind, there was a reason. David just wasn't out there looking for lions and bears to fight with. If they took a lamb from the flock, that was something that a good shepherd really had a heart for those sheep. Now you say, well, I wouldn't. No, some of you, if you're a dog lover, I've seen people step in the middle of dog fights to get their dog out of a fight. I don't know about my dog, but I won't. My dog can't fight anything. He's a 15-pound poodle. I don't even walk him in my neighborhood. You had to check your masculinity at the door. You walk that little foo-foo dog around. So I'm like, no, we ain't doing that. You can stay in the backyard. But David had a heart for those sheep, and he wasn't going to let a lion, a bear, just take and run off. One, that was an asset. And two, they said the shepherds would get attached. They had names for their sheep. And they would call the sheep. Sheep knew their name. Didn't Jesus say, I know my sheep? Call them by name. David was a good shepherd. He had a heart for those sheep. So he had a reason for it. And then David believed that the God who helped him would help him again. He believed in God's power and ability. He believed God would help him again with the giant. And he had a cause. We talked last week about a cause. Cause was that God's armies had been defied. And that just made David mad. This Philistine out there with no uncircumcised Philistine is out there trashing God's people. And David just, it irritated him. He said, he's defied the armies of the living God. So we listen to how David talks. And then we take that and go, okay, now what about us? Because we have a God, we can have a testimony similar to David. We can have a testimony similar to David. So I've not been fighting lions and bears. Yeah, but a lot of us have dealt with things that have attacked or come against our families, and the Lord's helped us, and we've won. And so here's something that, and I really believe this is something that we give more lip service to than we give heart action to, and that is really believing that God's for us. David had a confidence that God was for him. That he's just like, the Lord, I love how he said, the Lord who helped me with the lion and the bear, he will help me with this uncircumcised Philistine. You say, well, is that arrogance? No, actually what you call that is faith.
Amen.
He simply had faith. So you say, well, you know, I don't know if I can have that faith. Well, we have reasons. Romans 8th chapter. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? That's a huge verse. And what we have to do is embrace it. And just begin to go, God, I'm going to believe this. I believe this word. That if you're for me, it really doesn't matter who's against me. And if you, I know you're for me, Lord, because you didn't even spare your own son. But you gave up your best for me. I know you're on my side.
Thank you. Yes.
So because we have God's word, we have a reason to believe it. Now, if you're saying, Alan, I don't know if I can believe that or not. Actually, we have the ability to do it. We have the capacity to do it. When John was writing, the apostle John, in his gospel, he was writing about a situation that happened with Thomas. Thomas was a disciple. Remember, Thomas was the one that, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, he appeared to a group of them. Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas, you know what Thomas said? Thomas said, he pretty much crossed his arms and said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, until I put my hand in his nail holes and put my hand in his side, he said, I will not believe. He said, I got a choice here. I will not believe. So Jesus said, when Jesus showed up, he's like, come here, Thomas. Oh, boy, I hate to be Thomas. He's like, come here, Thomas. Put your hand right there, you know. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas got smart real quick. He said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Isn't that us?
Yes.
Most of us. Now, some people have had visions of Jesus. I would say 99% of the people in here never saw a vision of Jesus before you received him as your Lord and Savior. You heard the gospel. You heard what the Bible said about it. You believed it. And whether it was simply believing John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You believed that and you made Jesus your Lord. Man, this isn't rocket science. I heard that. I believe that. He said, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who've not seen and believe. Jesus performed. Now, John's now talking. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Let me help you with this. I think sometimes we wait for a feeling to believe that we believe. We're waiting for something to tell us, well, I just don't feel like I believe. We can choose to believe. And choosing to believe, I don't have to have a feeling at all. We used to, you know, years ago, we would have altar calls where people walked an aisle. And you know, they walk an aisle. A lot of times people walk an aisle, and if they were crying, we thought, oh, they believe. Oh, yeah, they're in. Not necessarily. I was walking across a field in Carbondale, Illinois. No tears, no music. There was no pad playing in the background. No one with a smooth, silky voice was talking to me. I'm just walking across the field, and I said, Lord, I need you in my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I got born again in a field.
That's right.
Walking across a field. Amen. Simply because I chose to believe. I'd heard the gospel all my life. I was raised in church. I thank God for my parents that raised me in church. But how many of you know that some of you heard the gospel before you made a decision to follow Christ? Is that anybody say that? Was were you waiting on God to save you? You weren't. You could have gotten saved a whole lot quicker.
That's right.
It's just when you said, I believe that. It's not when God saved you. It's when you receive salvation. Are y'all here? You're quiet. You're thinking? Listen, don't pray for God to save so-and-so. God, save my aunt. God, oh, Lord Jesus, she needs saving. Lord, save her. Strike her down, Lord, so she'll seek you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. To say, Lord, send someone across her path who can share with her so she could receive the salvation that's already been purchased for her. Salvation's available for anybody. All we have to do is simply go, I believe that. I don't have to have a feeling. I don't have to have a rush. I don't have to have goosebumps on my arm. I just go, I believe that. I receive that. Thank you very much. It's a choice. And John said, we can believe this as a choice. So if we can believe in Jesus without seeing him, can we believe he's for us without feeling it? See where I'm going with this? We don't have to wait for a feeling. We can just go, thank you, Lord, you're for me. Amen. That's your word. Okay, let's. What if you went home tonight and you walked in, you opened your door and you walked in and you walked into your foyer, your living room, and Jesus is standing right there. Well, after, I'm sure you wouldn't go, hey, Jesus, you would, you'd be eating carpet right then, or tile, whatever. You'd be on your face. And he said, stand up. And you said, yes. And he said, I just want to let you know that I am for you. And then he's gone. Do you go, oh, okay, praise God. No. When the goosebumps go down on your goosebumps, and you wake up the next morning, what's the first thing you think about? Jesus just appeared to me. Jesus just told me he's for me. It's going to be a different day. You're going to work like, yeah. Bring it today, baby, because I know who's for me.
Amen. Amen.
He's for me. Yes. He is for me. We don't have to have a vision. We don't have to have a dream. We don't have to have a sign. Listen to me. We can believe this just because we choose to believe it. And on your way to work tomorrow, you ought to praise God and go, Lord, I thank you that you're for me. Just as real as if you stood in my foyer and told me that you were for me, because your word says you're for me. I base my eternity on your word. I'm willing to base this day on your word. You're for me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so, this is a reason that we can believe. John said these things are written so that we can. Don't wait for a feeling. You know, if you, gosh, guys, I know we live by feelings, but if you live by feelings, you'll be a roller coaster all your life. Because sometimes you just feel like, man, I feel good today. I feel like God loves me today. I can whoop anything today. Just bring. And then sometimes you feel like, I hope no one even notices I'm alive today because I just want to hide. I wish you don't need to hear some of the conversations that I have in my head sometimes before I come and preach. They're like, do you feel like preaching? Nope. Is anybody else available? No, it's too late now. You don't have to have a feeling. And when you learn to live, when we live our lives not by our feelings, by our faith, it makes such a difference. It stabilizes things. And David believed God was for him. We can believe that God is for us. Now, here's another thing that David did. He did, not only did he believe, but we can recall on purpose. I like what David did. He said, the God who helped me with the lion and the bear. Now, here's the thing. Here's one of the things we have to remember. Have you ever gone through it and faced a problem or faced a situation and you just feel like you're starting on square one? You're like, oh, man, I got this situation. And then maybe someone says to you, you know, God helped you with this. And you go, that's right. He helped me with this, and he helped me with this. And he helped me. How many of you, God has ever done anything good for you in your life? Has he ever done? So listen, but here's the beauty. This is why we're supposed to be thankful all the time. Lord, I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you that you healed my wife 30-some years ago and she's still alive. I'm thanking you how you've worked with my children. I thank you that you healed some of my grandchildren who were in the NICU. And if you did it then, you can help me with this. God, if you deliver me from this, you can still help me. We have to bring to our own remembrance of what God has done for us. If he's ever done anything good for you, he didn't change. He can still do it again. And what that does is give us confidence. That's right. God, you helped me in the past. Joy and I were talking about something. It was just the other day. And we were talking about some challenges and things. Don't think that just because we're pastors, we don't deal with problems.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Please don't think that. I know some of y'all think, well, I know your life is just perfect. Everything is perfect. There's angel choirs. When you wake up in the morning, no, there's not. And we deal with problems like you do.
Yes.
And what we're learning is we don't have to deal with them the way we used to deal with them.
Yeah.
And we were saying, and Joy, let's look at me. She said, what are we glad about? And we just started recounting what God had done and how he had helped us and why we were glad. And I'll tell you something. You just start thinking, Lord, you helped us with this. And you've done this. And you've done that. And Lord, you've helped us with this. And we're still here after 28 years.
Amen.
We're still going great.
Thank you.
You're still showing, hey, you can talk yourself into feeling good. David talked Saul into letting him go out and fight that Goliath. Because he's like, the Lord delivered me from the lion and the bear. And if he delivered me from that, he'll deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. He sold the king. The king's like, go, and the Lord be with you. But wouldn't it be good to have a testimony that people go for it, man. Go for it. And the confidence that David said, the God who helped me then, he will help me now. And listen, the enemy will never bring that up. And your memory, you're going to have to go back and recall these things on purpose. That's why it's always good to have a testimony that's flowing. What has God done for you? I've heard people say, well, God hadn't done anything for me. Are you saved? If you're saved, he has done more than the world for you. He has settled your eternity, and you know exactly where you're going to go. And if I die before I wake, I know with the Lord I will. That's where I'm going. Don't act like, oh, please don't do that. Please don't ever say, he's never done anything for me. Listen, if you can lay your head on your pillow tonight and sleep because you know you're saved, you got something. God has done something for you. We ought never to lose our thanksgiving for that. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've done enough funerals. I promise you, I've done enough funerals. No one walks up to the casket and goes, you know, they never did get that car that they wanted. You know, she wanted to remodel the house. Never happened. They lived with linoleum. Nobody cares. You know what they do? They'll walk over and if they look and they go, did they know the Lord? And you go, whew, praise God. Isn't that what we do? We don't care how they cooked. We don't care how much money they made. When they're in that casket, all we want to know is, did they know Jesus as their Savior? And if they did, we're like, okay, good. We'll see them again. Don't act like God hasn't done anything for you. He's paid a huge price for you. We've always got something to be thankful about. Always got something to rejoice about. But we'll not do it. But here's the deal. We rejoice and we're thankful by faith, not by feelings. So we just say, Lord, I'm glad you're for me. I'm so glad you're for me. And because you're for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. You're for me. We're going to be okay. We're going to be all right. Because the Lord who saved me is still with me. It's going to be a good day. Does that make sense?
Yes.
David had a great testimony. We can have a great testimony. But we'll have to change our words, and we'll have to change our thoughts. And we can do that. You're sitting here on Wednesday night, you can do that. You can begin to change. And when you do, life gets better. Okay. Let's just go for about another 30, 40 minutes. You good? Some of y'all just got nervous. Okay, no, we're not. For all the guests, we're not going to do that, guys. We're gonna shut this down. Would you bow your heads with me, though, just for a moment? You're here tonight or you're watching online and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't know that I've ever made that step of faith, asking Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Or if I did, I'm just not sure. Or maybe you're saying, I did that, but I got away from him. And I know it and he knows it. And I just don't want it to be that way. I came tonight, and I know I'm here for a purpose. Or I'm watching tonight, and I know I'm here for a purpose. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to say a prayer. Now, we're not going to have you stand up or come down to the front. If you're online, obviously that doesn't apply. But if you're here today, tonight, or you're watching online, and you say, you know what, Alan, this, you're talking to me. And I want to have that relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Would you just acknowledge that? If you're here with an uplifted hand, say, Alan, would you guys pray for me? Thank you. I got you. Thanks. Yeah. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Great. Thank you. Yeah. Way in the back. I see you. You know, the Lord sees you wherever you are. It's a big place. He still sees you. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We're going to pray. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand, but this is a heart prayer. Online, this is a heart prayer. Prayer for you. Simple. Don't have to have any feelings. There's no music playing. This is a simple faith. A faith proposition. You're going to choose to believe, and God's going to come into your life and make a difference. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. But let's pray this prayer together. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer here and online. Lord, thank you for the ones who've come to you and the ones who've come back. And we rejoice with them. We're so glad. And for all of us, those of us who've known you for years, those of us who have been part of your family for years, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for saving us. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.